Hello and welcome to Inside Business, a podcast from the Irish Times. I'm Laura Slattery, standing in for Ciarán Hancock this week, and on today's show, after years of negotiation, the G7 nations have struck a deal to back a global minimum corporation tax rate of 15%. What does this mean for the Irish government's long attachment to a 12.5% rate and its efforts to woo overseas companies to our shores? And why did Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, say the move could cost the Exchequer $2.2 billion in lost tax revenue? I'll be chatting to Irish Times Managing Editor Cliff Taylor and Europe correspondent Naomi O'Leary about the intricacies of global tax reform, why they matter so much, and why European leaders have dubbed the deal a tax revolution. Cliff, I'll start with you. What happened last weekend, and was it as seismic as some people are saying?
Well, it was very significant, all right, Laura. It remains to be seen whether it paves the way for a final deal to be done, because as you say, this talking's been going on for 7 or 8 years now. So what the G7 ministers, finance ministers, decided was to back the two parts of a big reform plan which the OECD has been working on. The OECD is a group of 139 countries, so it's pretty much all every country in the world that would be involved in this, and trying to reach a deal to ensure that multinationals pay more tax and to change the way in which they pay after all the controversy of recent years that we've seen about the small tax bills of multinationals. So the G7 ministers backed the two main parts of this deal. So the first part involves a change in the way in where companies pay tax. So in future, the proposal is that the big digital players and the big multinational players would pay some tax in the markets where they sell, rather than just where their headquarters are based, as is the case at the moment. That's a big change. And Ireland is obviously a small market and is a country that has a lot of headquarters of the big multinational companies. So we would stand to lose from that. And that was what the Minister for Finance was referring to afterwards, after the meeting, when he said this could lead to 2.2 billion or more, around a fifth of Ireland's corporate tax revenue disappearing, because these companies, the Googles and the Microsofts and the Facebooks and so on, that have their European headquarters, international headquarters in Ireland, would be paying some tax, corporate tax, for the first time in countries like France, Germany, the UK, so on, and so they would pay less in Ireland. And the second part of the deal backed by the G7, and I think in the long term this could prove to be the more significant one, was support for a global minimum tax rate of at least 15%. On the major multinational companies. And this, as you said in your intro, raises a bit of a dilemma for Ireland, because our rate is below that level. Now, there are twists and turns in terms of the implementation of this, and there's still a way to go. It will go to G20 ministers now at a meeting in Venice in July, and then it will go to the OECD. And alongside that, we have to watch what's happening in the US, because the Biden administration has put forward its own proposals in the US Congress. And, you know, how this works out is very much going to be dependent on whether Biden can get his way with Congress and can get some kind of a tax plan through there. So a lot of moving parts, but no doubt that the G7 has given a new political impetus to these talks, and that we're going to see a very lively few months ahead on this issue, I think.
So it's not the case that even if they go ahead and somehow all 139 countries, is it, in the OECD?
Indeed.
Agree on this after many years of torturous negotiations. But we won't necessarily have to change to a 15% rate or even higher rate. We can keep 12.5%, because it's not really about the rate that any one country charges. Rather, it's about the rate that the companies end up paying. So there is a choice there still.
Yeah, as things now stand, Ireland would have a choice. So what the proposal relates to is what's called the effective tax rate. So it's the rate companies actually pay, rather than the headline rate, if you like. Now, in Ireland, we know the headline rate is 12.5%. And in fact, most multinationals pay somewhere close to that on the income they declare in Ireland, you know, 10 or 11%. Typically, there might be some allowances that allow them to cut it a bit. The great controversy has related to money that's moved through Irish registered companies and isn't declared for tax here. So that's a separate issue, if you like.
Yeah, I think the tax director of the OECD recently sort of said something like Ireland had been pushing its luck on that front. You know, maybe it's not a tax haven, but we really kind of interpreted a situation to our benefit the best we could.
Yeah, I mean, at heart, a lot of what's gone on over the last 15 years that's now become so controversial is based on US tax law and the fact that US law allowed companies to build up these huge piles of cash offshore and basically avoid paying tax on them at all unless they were returned to the US. Now, those rules have been changed under the Trump tax reform plan of 2017, so that has changed. But really, the controversy in Ireland related to rules like the Double Irish, which allowed companies to move cash that they earned around the world through these Irish registered companies offshore to companies that were actually tax resident, that paid their taxes in zero tax locations like Bermuda and the Cayman Islands and what we traditionally refer to as tax havens.
Is it still, do you think, feasible that we might increase, read the mood music and increase the rate to 15%, and we could even possibly get more tax in?
Yeah, this is going to be a tricky one. And I think Pascal Donoghue, it was interesting actually that he immediately after the meeting on Saturday, he came out and started talking about the other part of the plan, the bit that involves a change in taxing rights and is going to lose some revenue for us, and was underlining that this had been taken account of in the Exchequer forecast for the next few years. And I think really what he was doing was trying to avoid talking about the question that you're raising there, which is the trickier bit of this, which is what we're going to do with our tax rate and what this means for attracting investment to Ireland. So as things stand, if a global tax minimum tax rate was agreed by, I'd say, 15% or 16% or whatever it is, then companies could pay the 12.5% rate here and pay a top up back in their home market. And as I say, that would be based on the effective tax rate, the actual take from their earnings rather than the statutory tax rate. So Ireland could decide to follow that path. And a lot, of course, will depend on what the US does with its rules as well. But there's two questions about that. One is, would it make sense to do that in an environment where everyone else had moved to at least 15%, and there was no real advantage for companies in paying 12.5% here if they're going to have to pay a top up in their home market? The question will be asked, would we not be better to take that money ourselves into the Irish Exchequer rather than sticking at 12.5% here? So I think if this does come through, that is going to be an issue. And the second point then is, what happens if there is an OECD deal? What happens at EU level? Because there's no doubt that the European Commission and some of the big member states will try and take up the recommendation that comes from the OECD and, I guess, mandate it to apply in some way across the European Union. And of course, Ireland has a veto in tax matters. And we may or may not get support from some other countries like Hungary, but we would have to decide on, how much political capital we'd use up in that fight. And is that actually a fight worth having if it comes to that? But a fair way to go before we get there.
That leads me nicely onto Naomi O'Leary. European leaders had a rather different reaction to this tax agreement at the weekend than Pascal Donoghue did. What kind of thing were they saying?
Yeah, there was very much an atmosphere of triumph and delight at this. It's something that particularly France, but also Germany, have been working towards for years. The sort of sea change was the change in the US administration. The Trump administration had halted talks at the OECD level, and the new administration of President Joe Biden had re-engaged in them, which suddenly injected this momentum towards finding a deal. And it was very much, I mean, it was explicitly greeted as a French diplomatic triumph in Paris. And they said also, the French government said, that they would push for an even higher rate than 15%, which reflects domestic demand for something tougher. They've lost patience with attempts to agree an EU-wide deal and introduce their own tax on digital companies. And that was a signal, that they were prepared to act unilaterally in the absence of an international agreement. And I think the argument that I heard again and again from various EU leaders was that, time's up, guys. They're this model for economic growth of competing based on tax rates is over. And part of the reason is that it results in this situation where you have multinationals benefiting by paying very, very little rates. and you have an enormous inequality between what the average person might pay in terms of their income tax and what the, you know, wealthiest companies in the world pay. And the more wealthy they are, the better able they are to arrange their affairs so that they pay very little, whereas small companies don't have access to multiple markets and very clever accountants through which they can arrange things so that they not only pay as little as tax as possible, but also are very opaque about what's actually going on in terms of where their revenue is coming from, so that it's very difficult to actually figure out where their earnings are. So there was a lot of joy and delight, and also an expression that, you know, we need these revenues for the post-COVID times. We've just taken out all of this borrowing. You know, the EU has borrowed an enormous amount, 750 billion in COVID stimulus funds for the bloc to try and reform the economy continent-wide to make it digital and also green and stimulate growth. And, you know, that's going to have the revenues to pay that back is going to have to come from somewhere. And that was expressed by the German government, the French government, that, you know, we need revenues to build our societies. And this was seen as a way of getting that.
Yes, the timing is really interesting, isn't it? Because, as you say, this has been a huge crisis, a huge monetary crisis. And, you know, it's a kind of a now or never. And you know, just to invoke a cliche, there was that race to the bottom when it comes to the biggest of the big on tax. And this kind of the situation has kind of come to a head, I suppose. We had the G7 sort of agreement, or an agreement to agree, last week on tax rates. And the actual G7 summit is taking place this weekend in Cornwall. So will, you know, tax feature again, or what do you expect? Will it be the coronavirus recovery plan, as you mentioned there? Or apart from maybe seeing world leaders posing on a beach for photographs, what are you expecting will take place this weekend?
I think that the tax issue, the main dates to watch for are, as Cliff mentioned, the meeting of the G20 in Venice, where the goal will be to widen this agreement out to 20 countries. And then after that, the full number of the, you know, 139 members of the OECD. In terms of this weekend, what we're expecting is more broader geopolitical issues to be discussed, including, like you say, post-COVID growth, the pandemic, and international security. Also, there's going to be an EU-US summit with Biden coming to town, at which it's going to be another fresh page, I think, in the sort of new chapter that the EU and US are trying to set in terms of their relations, saying that, you know, the Trump era is ended now and we're allies again, we're the best of friends. Remember, the former president, Donald Trump, had described the EU as a foe and had kind of retreated from over half a century of close cooperation there. So there's a real impetus to try and reestablish ties and allyship there. They're going to possibly announce the decision to end tariffs on steel and aluminium. And also the EU is possibly going to support a US call for a new independent investigation into the origins of the COVID-19 virus. So that's the mood music ahead of that. In terms of tax, something that's important to note is that the details are really key here. They've agreed almost on the easiest part in terms of the headline figure of 15% and an acknowledgement that the digital businesses, there needs to be a reform to how taxation works to reflect the fact that it's not a case of physical goods being sold in easily identifiable locations anymore, but that, you know, taxation frameworks need to adapt to the massive multinational digital giants' business models, which are very sophisticated and very different to what taxation was sort of designed to capture in terms of profits. And within that complexity, there's an awful lot of room for something to be agreed that's actually ineffective. It will depend on how do you categorize where profits are made, what kind of reporting standards do you have so that you can actually find out that information. And there's lots of issues here that you know, big countries disagree on. Every country will be trying to get a slice of those revenues, particularly the US. You know, a lot of the big digital multinationals are, US multinationals. And I'm sure the Biden administration will support whatever, something that will result in increased revenues for the US. But it's going to be really difficult to divide up who has claim to those taxation revenues. So that's a fight that's yet to be fought. And I think, you know, to be a bit cliched, the devil will be in the detail.
Okay, so it sounds like it might be a little bit like the Joe Biden show this weekend, just because he's not over here every weekend.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big event. And I think it's also a sign of sort of international diplomacy and cooperation kicking off after a year in which much of it ground to a halt. And yeah, a sign of perhaps a return to some normality, at least in the wealthier countries.
Okay. So Cliff, Ireland isn't going to be the only country arguing over the finer details of this tax situation, is it? I saw the FT reporting that the UK Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, was seeking an exemption for financial services companies to protect the city. And as you mentioned there earlier, Hungary could be, you know, in a similar situation to ourselves. Do you expect that this, you know, this, as Naomi says, that the devil is in the detail, and that detail could be so granular, we could still be talking about this in 2030?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that the G7 did give this a big political push. But just a couple of days after their meeting is over, we're already kind of seeing the kind of problems and issues that are going to emerge. And, you know, as Naomi said, the real question would be whether this is a meaningful deal or just some kind of a deal which divides up the cake slightly differently in terms of where companies pay tax, because every exchequer is looking desperately for revenue. I mean, the cracks that you would see in the last couple of days, the first one you've referred to there yourself, Rishi Sunak saying banks shouldn't have to pay this tax. So immediately...
Not our banks.
Well, our banks aren't making much. Well, I suppose they are making some profits, but they're not multinational operators anyway, but not anymore. But the big multinationals in the city, the big multinational banks that operate across Europe, a lot of them highly profitably, and Rishi Sunak suddenly is saying... A couple of days after trumpeting this deal, that these big players should be carved out in some way. So that's just one example of how every country is going to try and set this for their own advantage, if you like. I mean, the other example that's happened over the last couple of days is another report that there was some special arrangement which the G7 ministers were trying to come to make sure that Amazon paid tax. Because the particular structure of Amazon might suggest, and the fact that they don't make very, very much in the way of profit margins on their retail operations. They make a huge amount of money because of the volume of they do, but their actual margins aren't huge. So a suggestion that there will be some special arrangement put in place to catch Amazon. Now, you kind of can't do that kind of thing in tax rules. Tax rules have to be, you know, fair and clear and equitable and easily worked out, and you can't kind of tweak them to catch one kind of particular giant company. And there's still, you know, a bubbling argument underneath about how companies are going to pay tax in the markets where they sell, what companies are going to be involved in this, and a fear in the US that, you know, their companies are going to be picked on, if you like, if this isn't done. So I think a really complicated picture now over the next few months. And as Naomi said, the G20 meeting will be the next kind of staging post on that. I wouldn't expect much out of the G7 meeting, bar a nod to what happened to the G7 and a very grave statement that this is the way to go forward and it must happen. But they're not going to be discussing the detail walking down the beach in Cornwall. So,
It's very hot in Venice in July. I'm not sure how much work is going to be done there either.
That's true. But you have, the master of... one of the masters of the art of compromise and discussion, Mario Draghi, will be chairing that meeting, because Italy is chairing that at the moment. So I guess if there's one person who might find a way forward in that agenda, you'd certainly, you know, you'd put your money on Mario Draghi to have to have the ducks lined up in so far as they can be. I mean, one interesting thing is, I suppose another way of looking at this from Ireland's point of view is that we've always wanted a deal to be done, because Ireland reckons that if a deal isn't done, that because of the political imperative for these companies to pay more tax, that every country's going to go its own way. And you could end up in a fractious period where we lose a lot of tax revenue anyway, and we get caught up in some kind of transatlantic trade tensions between the trade and tax tensions between the US and the EU. Because we've already seen the US now threatening some European countries who have said that they will impose it, or are already imposing in some cases a digital sales tax on US companies operating in their territories. And the US are saying, look, we'll put this on hold for 6 months because we hope an OECD agreement can't be reached, or can be reached rather. But like, if anyone thought that the era of tariffs and threats were gone with President Trump, I think they're wrong. There's no doubt that there's a new political impetus here, and there really is a big drive by the US to get more revenue for itself and to do a deal internationally that kind of settles this down.
And just to go back to sort of what's at stake here, I mean, our foreign direct investment policy has revolved around this model of get your headquarters to Ireland, you know, we'll give you a field. Planning permission might take a while, but once you're up and running, we've got a beautiful supply of English language speakers. But of course, most importantly, a 12.5% tax rate and some other arrangements that might work out even better. So if, you know, the writing is on the wall there for that model, you know, what does the government do next? Or how do they, you know, can they evolve along with the sort of wishes, I guess, of other European and world leaders?
Well, I think whatever way this falls now, it's kind of clear that the era of using low tax rates to attract investment is kind of coming to an end. I mean, Ireland may still be attractive on that score versus countries, for example, like the UK, who are talking about increasing their corporate tax rate, or even the US, which is talking about a 28% domestic rate, although that may not be agreed. But the era of kind of aggressively using a tax rate to attract companies, I think, is probably over for Ireland. So the government, I guess, will have to see how this plays out, first of all, over the next few months, and then it's going to have a call to make, I think, in terms of the 12.5% rate. But if you look back 15 or 20 years, tax was the reason why big US companies came to Ireland. And maybe kind of 5 or 10 years ago, it was still a key reason. But now there are many other reasons why American companies are in Ireland. As you say, access to markets, the EU market has always been an attraction, skilled workforce. And now you have a group of companies who are kind of deeply embedded here. So I think the challenge for government is to develop policy that keeps those companies here and then ensures we can continue to win a share of investment from them in future. I think inevitably some of the tax-driven projects won't come our way anymore. I think inevitably some American companies who would have expanded overseas are going to expand now in the US instead and serve world markets from the US. So the challenge for the government is to develop things like infrastructure and education, third-level education, further education, all the kind of things that we've been talking about, but maybe we haven't done quite as much about as we should have done over the last few years. You know, the funding of third level and higher education being a classic example of where Ireland has kicked a touch repeatedly over the last decade and has seen universities slip down world rankings and, you know, could be perhaps be seen to be vulnerable in the years ahead if we don't get our act together. Those are the kind of things that are going to make a difference in future in terms of where companies operate, not tax rates.
OK, we'll end on that hopeful note, Cliff, and maybe check in on this tax saga when it reaches Venice next month. But that's it for this week's Inside Business. My thanks again to Cliff Taylor and to Naomi O'Leary. You can get the latest business news straight to your inbox by signing up to our Business Today email on irishtimes.com. Today's podcast was produced by Jennifer Ryan with JJ Vernon on sound. We'll be back next Wednesday. Thanks for listening.